want to share for a little bit this morning and maybe have us come up here and just sit or stand and worship the Lord in a presence and asking God to just wash over us. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. We exalt you, Jesus. We glorify you. I may enjoy that presence of the Lord this morning. Amen. You know, I think we oftentimes, not out of, and I'm not saying this out of condemnation or fear, but we don't appreciate the washings of the Spirit that are available to us on a continual basis. And I think one of the things that we need to practice, not only in the house of God, but practice at home and wherever we're at, is just knowing that when we go into the presence of the Lord, that there is not only a presence to bring atmosphere to us, but to continually wash over us and to just wash away. And it doesn't necessarily mean that there's sin in our life, but just wash away the scourge of the world and wash away the atmosphere of the battle so oftentimes that is prevalent against our souls. So 1 John 1 verse 5 says this: "This then is the message that we've heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light." Hallelujah. "And in him is no darkness at all." Thank you, Jesus. That's the Father that we serve. No darkness at all. Well, if there's no darkness in him, what should we be like if we're his offspring? "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But," hallelujah, everybody say "but." "But if we walk in the light," here's where we're at, and here's our daily, where we should be. I'll say this, that, you know, you'll hear these scriptures read sometimes where people are making appeals to the lost. They'll say these things are written to the lost. This is written to the church. This is written for us. This is written for us, for our meditation and our consecration to him, to continue to go to a place of where we're just washed in him. "If we walk in the light," that's the fellowship, "as he is the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another," not just us, but with him. "And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, does what? Cleanses us from all sin." You know, there's the next part is that we have something to do with that, that we confess when we mess up or fail or whatever. But just being in his presence provides a cleansing. And if we're understanding this right, yes, there's a next part when we know that we've done wrong, that we confess it, we don't hide it. But at the same time, there is, as we're sitting in his presence, there's a washing that's going on. And I think that's one of the things that I want to bring to your attention this morning, is that in these times of presence in the Holy Ghost, that there's a washing that is taking place. Separate yourself in these times. Don't just, you know, live through the moment. Allow the Holy Spirit to be washing you, cleansing you, purging you, and just bring you to the next place of his presence. Hallelujah. Amen. "And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin." If we're in this place, there's a washing in his presence. And as I said, it's like oftentimes it feels like even things that you don't, you know, we're, the word says that we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And so just having to be in the world, there's a certain scourge of the off-scouring of the world that seems to come on us, even without our knowing at times. And the Holy Spirit is letting us know that if we're dwelling in this place, if we meditate in this and say, "Lord, in your presence," there, just in your presence, before, if anything comes up, then I'm going to confess it, but just in your presence, there's a washing. There's a cleansing that takes place. Verse 8 says, "And if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." That means if you know that you've done wrong And you say, well, I haven't done wrong. You're deceiving yourself. And this teaching, or this is what John was teaching to the church, not to the lost. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. People, the church has moved away from a washing mentality. In the certain sense of the word, is that the radical church or the radical teachings has been, it was all paid for at the cross. Well, it was. The provision was paid for. But that doesn't mean that you don't repent. The provision was paid for so you could repent. And you could go right back into the fullness of the grace of God. So there's I staggered years ago at the teachings when I heard them, that there were certain ones, and it's still out there and it's so prevalent, that if you sin, you don't even have to repent. My God. You listen to enough of that, that'll get you in an extremely dangerous territory. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. And what it's talking about is if you're walking in habitual sin. Now, everybody at times has to say, Lord, I missed it there. But if you're walking in habitual sin and say, it says here, if we've not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. And as I said, the church is so often, I think, and this is part of the apostasy that's taking place in these last days, that's coming against the church. And Hebrews, the book of Hebrews teaches us that we're really, and I won't go into all that, but there's so much there that provides for us an understanding that we have through this walk of knowing him. He's our high priest, is he not? He's the apostle and the high priest of my profession. So oftentimes when I'm doing my confessions before the Lord and I'm reading through those confessions, I'm realizing that he's not only the apostle, but he's the high priest. He's two things. He's the apostle and the high priest of my profession. Profession also could be interpretation, confession. Now, I know that means this, that my profession into Christ, he has provided that my profession, my confession into Christ is before the Lord, before God. But I stand and I say to him, Lord, I imagine him at my right hand before the Father as I'm making my confessions, and I'm believing that what he's provided for, that he's standing there with me as a witness that all those things are going to come to pass. And he's, as my high priest, providing all access that I need for all my confessions to be made manifest. Hallelujah. Now, there's, as I was about to say, Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, provides for an atmosphere in our understanding that we should live with a guilt-free conscience as born-again believers. We shouldn't have the weight of that we're sinners saved by grace. We once were sinners, but we've been saved by grace. So you should feel really good about yourself because the Father feels really good about you. And he's provided that you live a guilt-free conscience, with a guilt-free conscience. I'll just say this because of different things and understanding different things. Stay balanced. Stay. Stay balanced in the sense of the word is that you continually check yourself as you go into these places of a daily, Lord, cleanse me. I oftentimes take communion at home, not just in the church, because I think it's something that you as an individual get an opportunity to do. It's not anything that you have to be in church to do. But I'll say this, because Pastor Dave used to say this, if for those that are really, really, really gung-ho, like I want all of God and I want all of God now, if the devil he can't make you sin. We know that. You do that because you choose to. Somebody was telling me the other day, it was really neat. They said they had some people over to their house, and they were watching this, and they weren't part of our group. And this is no condemnation to them. It's just a testimony to who we are, and I appreciate the people that were sharing this with me. They said they had a group, they had some family members over, and they were listening to us, and they were listening to me. And I got to the part where the devil can't make you sin. If you do sin, you did it because you want to. And they said, those were Christians that were there. Boy, there was a family discussion after that. They were like, wait a minute. I don't know where this guy's going. But that's not true. Well, it is truth. Because we've been set free from the power of sin. Hallelujah. But if we do sin, 1 John 1:9. Hallelujah. Thank God. And that's the thing I want to get across to you this morning, that he does continually go to that place of cleansing. The church is like, it's so accessible. It's so wonderful. Now, if the devil can't, if he gets some of you, if he can get you to get overly conscious, Pastor Dave used to say this, if the enemy cannot entice you to sin, then he'll just get behind you and start pushing you into legalism. He'll just start pushing you into legalism. I remember Pastor Tim used to say, devils push. The Holy Spirit leads and devils push. Well, something's really pushing me hard into this. I'm anxious about it, but I feel like it's the Lord. Wait, if there's any anxiousness, if there's any fear, it's not of God. Hallelujah. So that's where we judge things. And I feel like God's doing it, but I feel so condemned about this. I feel like, well, have you gone to the blood? Yes. Well, you still feel condemned? What's the devil then? It's the devil. Hallelujah. Pastor Dave used to say this. Sometimes I start on him and I start remembering everything. He used to say, when he first came into this, he went into the holiness movement. You know, that's where you women couldn't wear makeup and you couldn't wear pants and all that kind of stuff. Now, there's not too many of those churches around, but there's still. But he went into that, and he felt like the more you know, they taught basically the more you give up, the closer you get to God. He said we gave up everything, and we gave up Coca-Cola and everything. We just kept yielding and yielding and yielding and yielding. We gave up everything, and we still didn't have the power. It's not legalism that gets you there. It's a walk with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. It's walking with Christ and walking in a place where the Holy Spirit takes you. And we reign over this flesh, the outward man, that where there's still appetites that need to be crucified. We reign over him through the Spirit, not through the willpower of the mind or the flesh. Can I get an amen? Amen. Still, I would say this, radical grace still oftentimes mocks these washings that we say that we need to be a part of on a daily basis. Did Jesus think that washings, I'm using that word washings in replace to cleansings, asking him for our continual, asking him for continual forgiveness if necessary. Jesus said this. Now we could go to Matthew's gospel and read the same thing, but where he was teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. But let's look at Luke chapter 11, verse 1. I hope you've got your Bibles or your smart device. And we're reading out of the King James. Hallelujah, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. And we're not saying that sarcastically. We're just hallelujah. Because we're nice people. Did you know I'm a nice person? Right, Velotti? Thank you. The first time I met Velotti was in Houston when he picked me up and squeezed me to pieces. That was at a Houston conference, I think, wasn't it? Yeah. Big Russian. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Love these guys. I'm so glad they're a part of our church. Amen. So Luke chapter 11, verse 1 says this, and Jesus is teaching his disciples. His disciples came to him. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, When he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Well, if there's anybody I'd like to teach me to pray, it'd be Jesus, right? Because they would watch him. He'd go off and pray. He'd come back and bam, everything take place. Well, what did he include for us? Now, there's part of this that it was not for him, but for us, because he's teaching them and teaching us how to pray. As John also taught his disciples, and he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And this is kind of just a rough draft of everything. You obviously, this does not fulfill your daily prayer life. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. And then he said, give us day by day our daily bread. Now he's talking about a daily, this is in provision, but also he's talking about daily things, going daily, coming daily and making these confessions. And forgive us of our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. The first one is to forgive us of our sins, and then the second part is to totally walk free of all offense. Absolutely, to walk totally. He said in another place, if you don't forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. So we have to understand this, but what I want to get across to you today is this. This was done, and this was projected to be done on a daily basis. Now, I'm not getting legalistic and saying if you don't pray this prayer every day, because I don't pray it every day, but it should be something that is indigenous to your spirit. It's down inside of you that you say that you're making a prayer that, Lord, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me. Even if there's things that I don't know about, do you know he'll forgive you for things that you don't know about? Just if you need to, the Lord, he'll bring it to your attention. Forgive us. And he says, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Is there a connection? And I don't want to get legal. I don't want to even begin to get legalistic here in a sense of the word, that I build inside of you a sense that there's a legalism. But I want you to see that once he said that you prayed this, he immediately went into a teaching. And once he said, forgive us our debts, and then forgive as we forgive others, he also continued on at the same time in this. You know, they came to him and teach us to pray. Well, he's going to teach them to pray. The first part of it was the preface of our relationship with him. Forgive us, wash us, help us to walk in love so that we're receiving your forgiveness, your cleansing. At the same time, Lord, let us also forgive others. Now that prefaces something. And the preface was, he said unto them in verse 5, which of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight? Now this is that wonderful teaching on bread that Gary did last year so eloquently. It was so wonderful. And say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. This is revival. I'm sure you agree with me. I have of Bronk Flint nothing to set before this city. But God knows what I want more than anything else is to be emptied of self and filled with him. There are of myself no ability except I go to him and say, Lord, you have the loaves that I need to feed. And the feeding here, we go on to see, is everything that everyone needs. The friend, he says this, let me read it. He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. We came here almost 30 years ago, and the Lord said to us, there are friends out there that you don't know of. In essence, the Lord said this. It wasn't, I didn't hear these exact words, but this was, they need. what man cannot give them. They need what feeding programs cannot give them. They need something that only the supernatural outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Do you just lift your hands right now? Oh, Holy Father, give us this. Father, give us this. Abba, give us this. Give us this, Lord. Jesus, not of ourselves. Oh, thank you, Jesus. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot arise and give to thee. But I say unto you, that though he will not rise and give him because of he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will arise and give him as many as he needeth. And this is not our Father. This is our Father, but how much more? The first example is not him that's saying no, but it says, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now, we're knocking for revival, are we not? We've been knocking for a long time. The first part of before he ever gets this is our cleansing, our washing, our preface to say there's nothing between me and you, me and you, Lord, and also there's nothing between me and anybody else. And then he goes into us asking, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and him that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he shall ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer to him a scorpion? Well, of course not. Of course not. He's just giving a contrast here to say there's no way possible. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Somebody said, well, Pastor, I already have the Holy Spirit. That's not what he's saying here. It's not the infilling of the Holy Spirit like baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit here is the bread that we need to go to our city and say, blind, you don't have to be blind anymore. Sick, you don't have to be sick anymore. And right now, we're just kind of pacing ourselves, finding all the doctrine in the Word of God that provide for you on a weekly basis and believing that you're fighting with us, because the end result is the fullness of the kingdom of God. And I'm not going to say it all matters. It all matters critically. But I'm telling you, until we cross that line and get out there in waters to swim in, we're still not representing the kingdom of God in fullness. Hallelujah. Am I speaking the truth? So we've got to get in there and we've got to continue. But in the first part of this is go into places of cleansing, go into places of washing, go into places where these things are taken out of you. Because I can tell you this, don't ask me how I know this, but you can think everything is, you know, everything is great, and the Father will just love on you. And there's a difference between the condemnation of the world and Satan and the purgings of the Father. But as you go into him, he will gently begin to purge and wash you so that he can take you to the next level to pour out his anointing on your life. Hallelujah. There's a confidence. The more we go into this path, there's a confidence in the Holy Spirit that breathes on us and breeds in us a confidence in our asking. 1 John 3 says this, and you can turn there. Are you getting anything? Hallelujah. Good. Homer did an awesome job Wednesday night. I'm just so thankful for what God's doing in him, especially in the book of Psalms. He'll probably be coming up on another Wednesday night here in the very near future, because me and my wife that is in a cast, a temporary cast, are going away for just a couple of days for our 48th. Isn't that great? And that's this month, and it's just like in a week or two. So hallelujah. Praise God. Can you believe that woman put up with me for 48 years? Actually, for maybe dating too. So we've actually been together for about 50 years now. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. Hallelujah. We got married when we were 2 years old. Because I know you're like this. That doesn't really make sense. Not as young as you look. You can't be. No. Okay. Skip it. Hallelujah. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Now, if I really went into this in the context, it's talking about loving and giving, and how that we are supposed to be help provide. For if our hearts condemn us, but I'm going to use this as an overall. If our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, hallelujah. Now there's where our confidence comes in. Then we have confidence towards God. Hallelujah. Well, I don't have confidence towards God. Well, 1 John 1:9, hallelujah. Do it, and then don't do it. Don't do what you had to go to 1 John 1:9 for. Verse 22. And whatsoever you shall ask, everybody say whatsoever. We receive of him because we keep his commandment and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. Hallelujah. So the confidence. The confidence in you, Father, as we look at you as Abba and receive this confidence, then that confidence relates into the streets or into our lives or into the places where we're going to go, into the hospitals and go into the possibly the insane asylums and places where people are locked up in their minds, and they've not been able to get set free. And the power of God goes in there, and we're not going in there being under an accusation, but we're going in under with absolute confidence of who we are. How many of you believe that Jesus knew who he was? And God wants you to walk in the same absolute confidence that Jesus walked in. Hallelujah. Therefore, we have confidence. Why? Because our hearts are not condemning us. Hallelujah. Let's talk just a minute about the family and the cleansings and the washings that take place. Just in relevance to the family. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 27. Hallelujah. Just good basic sound teaching this morning. Are you getting anything once again? Hallelujah. 5:22 says, boy, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. I didn't say that. Homer said that. He said, that's good teaching. Notice he said unto your own husbands. And I believe he had an understanding there, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. We've got a, for those of you who are watching, I'm sorry, we've got a comment section by one of the preachers here. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love. Love your wives. Thank you. Thank you. Love your wives. What did she say?
Even better.
Even better. Now I'm really preaching. Okay. Love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. There's not a woman in the world that will not submit to a man that loves her like Christ loves the church. Hallelujah. He won't hurt her, not verbally, not physically, not in any way. And that woman will love him, or that man that loves her as Christ loves the church, it won't even be an effort. That he may sanctify, and this is it, that he may cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word of God. That word word here is the word rhema. And I just want to continue to focus on that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that should be holy and without blemish. I would just say to you, let this word here really is the word logos. It's not rhema, but nevertheless, let this word and the continual present day speakings of the Lord bring forth a washing over your life, a purging over your life. And I think we all fall short of this. I do at times, of not reading these things and going through these prophecies that the Lord, these rhema words that the Lord has spoken to us. So I will just continue to say to all of you, please, the ones that have been spoken here, the ones that come through to us from Dave Roberson Ministries, Jim Martin Ministries, these present day speakings, I can tell you this. Before I give a word, and I do my very best, if I feel like there's something coming, I'll almost at times get in almost disobedience where I have to almost say, Lord, well, I don't get in disobedience, but I'll wait on it until I'm sure it's not me, because I don't want it to be me. I don't want it to be me. And I believe that the ones that come through Dave Roberson Ministries, there's a panel or there's a group of men and women that judge these things, and they put them out as present-day speakings, words of the Lord. But anyway, let these things wash over you. Let the word of the Lord wash over you, and let it cleanse and be a washing to you against everything that we're facing in these days, that we build the confidence Christ in us, builds a confidence in us that the revival that we're speaking for, believing for, is going to come to pass. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says this: seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not, here's going to double negative here, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And here's our confidence. We're walking in him. We're cleansed. We know that we're walking a place where we forgive everybody else. So we have a confidence. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of trouble. Our time of need, it says. Hallelujah. Here's our confidence. Father, I'm, as far as I know, there's no sin in my life. Therefore, I walk in confidence in you. And Lord, I just come, and you're my high priest. Therefore, I come boldly. Jesus, you're my high priest. I come boldly before the throne of grace that I may obtain mercy. This is not mercy to be born again. This is the word, in essence, compassion, that the Lord reaches out to you and says, it's yours. I feel your infirmities. It's yours. And the infirmity that we're really feeling right now as a group is, Lord, we're not questioning you, but how much longer, Lord? Because there's something inside of us that at times really, and I've felt it through the years, that it just hurting. Hallelujah. Hurting for the kingdom of God to come in fullness. Thank you, Jesus. One last scripture says, Jesus said this in John 14, 12 through 14. He says, truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you will ask anything in my name, I will do it. There's a contradiction against me right now. It's a lying contradiction, because it's saying I don't believe, but I do believe. But I'm telling you, I'm going to continue against all contradictions until that which I say comes to pass, and it comes to pass now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're not going to lower the bar. Jesus said that you can have what you ask for. And in Jesus' name, the kingdom of God comes. Immokalee's in revival. And every single one of you are set free from whatever you're walking through to serve the Lord in the fullness of what he has for you and your call in these last days. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's all stand together. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'd just like to have some worshipers to come up here with me for a few minutes. Stand up here, lift your hands, receive the washings of the Lord, the cleansings, the power of confidence that, Lord, we're going in this thing, and we're going in this thing together as a family. I want to let every one of you know how much I love you. Some of you, sometimes I know the devil tries to come and say, I don't know if Pastor Bronk really loves me. Come up here. I want to give every one of you a hug right now. Hallelujah. Y'all are so special. Every single one of you are special to me. And there's not one in here that I love more than the other. Please just come and let's just worship the Lord together and just receive this outpouring. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We worship you. You can crowd up against the front. Thank you, Jesus. I'll stand here with you. Let's just worship the Lord for a little bit before you go home today.